Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Moms Can Relate podcast. This platform is made for mothers to share all their details, their journey of motherhood. I am the founder. My name is Debbie Bissoun, and it is my pleasure to introduce another week with another fabulous mommy. This week, I have an amazing lady who has been such a big part of the media space for years. She took some time off to rejuvenate, to restore, and just to connect with herself. And now she's back, and she's back with a book and much more. I'm talking about the amazing Kiki Toms. Welcome back to the Moms Can Relate podcast, guys. Thank you so much for supporting us. We see you, we see the numbers, we see your feedback. We love it. And this week I have one of my good girls, my sisterins, my sister, my friend, what else? Mentor. Lord have mercy, whole hand and cry partner. I remember when I was just pregnant and I needed a whole heap of emotional support and assistance and guidance and all of these things. I remember she telling me, oh, don't cross your legs. I said, why? She's like, no, don't cross your legs like that. You remember? Do you remember this?
No.
Okay, all right, cool.
More like it was because you're putting more pressure.
Something about putting pressure somewhere. But you hear her voice, guys. Yes. I'm here with the one, the only, the amazing Kiki.
Hi. Kiki.
Oh, it's a drink, mate. That sounds great. No. Oh, okay, cool.
The funny story is I've been so out of it and off the scene for so long, I didn't even know what was
that
happening.
That was like your comeback song, though.
And my son started singing it. They're like, Mommy, they have this song. And I was like, what song? So they started doing the dance, and I was like, oh. So I was very late.
So Drake wrote that one for you, honey. Drake thought about you and said, you know what?
What is the song about, though? Because outside of Kiki, do you love that's all I know?
That's all I know too.
Alright, so I'm not that bad then.
No, that's all I know. But just wait on the hook and I come back and I start saying, Kiki, do you love me? Are you riding? That's it. I don't know the verse.
From beside me.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm done.
Yes. Keeks, it's so good to see you though. It's great to see you. So this is one time when I can tell people, like, people age in reverse for real one. And after babies, they gain no weight. Snapback is immediate. I'm green with envy because Kiki looks the same way that she looked when she was on TV the first time I saw her in Clarendon when I was a child. And now she looked the very same way, honestly. So what is the secret ingredient to this?
Because
four kids later and you look the same way.
Thank you. Four kids later. It's my mommy. That's the honest truth. I can go in between my mother's genes and my father's genes. So my father's from St. Elizabeth. And when I'm ready to blow up, I blow up. So when I'm pregnant, I go up to 200 pounds.
So, no, yeah, you're lying.
No, man, I promise you. I always tell people I'm like Princess Fiona from Shrek. Like, I look like Princess Fiona. I do. I look like I swallowed myself. Anyway, sorry, but I put on the weight because I can carry weight. So I'm a big girl. But then, thankfully, my mama is like 60 odd, and my mama is rock solid.
Oh wow!
My mama. If you look on her, put it this way: if you look on my mother sideways, it look like her belly big, and when she turned on, she have an 8-pack.
Wait,
it's serious.
An 8-pack.
Yeah,
okay.
It's like an upstart from okay. So me a bad man. I'm not really, mommy. Mm-hmm. So I'm thankful for her genes. Also, this time after I had and my fourth son Kai, I was like, oh my god, because I had the weight on me. I'm like, is it gonna work? Am I gonna
How
come
old
back?
Is Kai?
He's 7 months.
Kai is 7 months. Oh my gosh.
But this time it did take me a little while. Even Denver was laughing at me. He's like, now you gotta work for it. But it did melt. However, I must say, even though the weight is gone, it's called you need to exercise to tone up.
Right. But no worry about it. We can't see it enough. You wear it well.
Yeah.
Kai is 7 months and you were missing.
Yes.
So I think the big question is, where have you been all this time?
Living life. Breathing in and out, exhaling, figuring it out. I made a conscious effort. So a couple of years ago, actually, I almost met in a car accident, head-on collision, kind of blind in the night, you see. But that's not why the accident almost happened. Someone was driving on the street. It was a dark road in Clarendon too. Driving on a Mandeville, and it was almost a head-on collision because their lights were so low. And as soon as I came back into the right lane that I was supposed to be in, I was like, you know, it means someone could have probably did while ago, and my book never did right. So I'm gonna take some time and start this book, because it was on me for a very long time to do a book. And so I just took that time. Just decided to write the book, and then I ended up pregnant along the way.
Of course, because hey, downtime means get it on time.
And I'm done. I'm done. So that was it. I was just taking some time figuring things out, putting things into perspective, and ensuring that book got done and was birthed. So
and the book is done.
Book is birthed, and so is Kai.
Yeah. So yeah, you have double birth.
I got double birth.
Isn't that a blessing though?
It is. I'm in such a good space right now in terms of life. I'm just actually like a villain. Yeah.
So what is the book about?
All right. So ideally, the book
and what
is
the name of it?
It's called Discovering You, The Search Is Over. And it's a hybrid concept in terms of it's delving into neuroscience and spirituality and tied in with my story. And ideally what it is that neuroscience and science on a whole has a lot of relevance to how we function as humans, you know, how we think, what we do, you know, our thought process, all of this. And then it as much as it's relevant to us, it still can't out-explain God. The energy that God is, you know what I mean? Because we use the word God to refer to the energy or the soul that's within us. So when I say God, it's not a religious thing. I'm just saying that the energy that is within us that keeps us alive, that is God. Science can't explain it at all. Mm-hmm. So they can't out explain God. And scientific principles actually do support biblical principles as well. And then I tie it in on how you can, with my own life story, you know, and how I've been able to use principles from both sides and steps from both sides to kind of become the complete person. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much it.
All right. So it will give us details about your life's experience, all the things that molded you, and how far have you delved?
Very. Everything is in the book. And I mean, you know what? It's everything that all the stories that would have it's the highlights of my life with some very life-changing experiences that could have left me drowning. Mm-hmm. Or floating.
Yeah.
You know, thankfully I'm still afloat. But it is those gut-wrenching, grueling, lifelong experiences that I've had to endure over the years, but was able to overcome and still stand up strong. Mm-hmm. And just things that I've had to draw on to pull me through. And that's just a tip of the iceberg, because there's so much more to talk mm-hmm. about.
So you took the time away to write the book. What are some of the things that you discovered, though, I'm sure, with this quiet time? Because they always say in the quiet time is when you get the answers, when you get the unfoldings.
You know what? Here are what it is. I was so busy in the writing process that I think I was just more engrossed in research and understanding and learning and opening up that mental capacity to comprehend things that you've never heard of before, you know? So, like, for example, the foundation principle of who we are as humans. So we come into this world, first and foremost, and this is really the premise of the book, is if you take a child, a baby, let's use a baby for example, baby comes in the world, let's say you take the brain out of the baby, what do you have?
A shell.
All right, fine, but the shell can still be alive. Mm-hmm. You know this, right? Because mm-hmm. people can be brain dead and still be alive.
Of course.
All right, so fine, let's take the energy or the soul out of the baby, then what do we have?
Just blood
and mush and bones. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing spectacular about it. That's really what humans are. That's what we are. Mm-hmm. So our soul keeps us alive. We have to have that spiritual connection. But then our brains are the computer that we have to function with. Right. So we come into this world and we have parents. You might have one mother, you might have a mother, you know, the mother and the father, or you might have been raised in, you know, foster home, whatever it is. As a baby, as an infant, you're going to have influences programming your brain before you even understand that your brain is being programmed.
Right.
And after they program that from your earliest days, you're going to start attracting experiences based on that programming mm-hmm. without even understanding. You're going to continue growing up in this way.
In the same pattern.
And then you're going to go to school, you're going to go to here, and it's going to be more of the same experiences. And if you didn't have right programming, especially programming about self-love and acceptance and all of these, you know, core things that most of us miss half of the times, then life is going to be a little challenging for you. And if you fall into a trap, especially in our society, of blaming others, then you're doomed. Mm-hmm. So what this whole thing is about understanding that who you are up until this point, unless you have consciously made a decision to meet yourself and really see who you were created to be, not the curated version of yourself that's been programmed by your mm-hmm. earliest experiences, then you're not going to really know who you are.
Yeah.
And you're doing yourself a disservice and mm-hmm. others a disservice as well. Because the truth of the matter, if you know who you are and you can deprogram and reprogram your mind, the world becomes a better place automatically. And you impact those around you. So that's pretty much it.
So I mean, that's so interesting, because we were just talking, I mean, off air, yeah, of course, about mm-hmm. programming and stuff, and I was referencing Iana Van Zandt's book Pieces of the Broken Pieces, and she talks about pathology and mm-hmm. The root of this is where we have gathered all the programs and then how we manifest it now in our mm-hmm. adult lives, and then we find out that it's bringing us the patterns are bringing
right
us back. Discomfort
it goes right back,
and we're wondering where is it coming
and
from.
No, and as mothers, and that's why I've always said that if you see a broken man, look for his broken mother, mm-hmm. because we tend to give men a bad rap. I'm a mother of four boys, you know what I mean? So for me, if you see a broken man, don't just say, oh Lord, just a man's day, da da da. No, if you see a broken man, he had a broken mother or a broken female influence in his life, because the truth of the matter is, I also think that we don't understand our roles yet.
Yeah,
and that's something you and I will talk about off air, you know what I mean?
Of course.
But I don't think women are understanding of their role. They're not taught how to be women just yet,
mm-hmm.
and our men aren't really aware of their roles. There's a subtle switch that needs to happen, but that's for a whole new show.
Really?
Yeah.
You can't even scratch the surface of it today?
Oh my God, put it this way.
Put it in context into how we train boys. Take for instance, so when they're babies, we buy the stuff for boys that are boys, boy labeled.
Alright, so in the simplest form, again, the premise is, think of us as earth. Think as women as the earth, the soil. Mother Nature, no pun intended.
Mm-hmm.
Think of men as the seed mm-hmm. that's going to go into that soil. We're going to nourish that seed. We're going to help that seed to grow. And when that seed grows, whatever foundation it was on, it's going to take root mm-hmm. and form. And after it gets to be whatever it needs to be, then it's going to turn around and nurture us. It's
mm-hmm.
going to provide us with shade and protection. And it's going to, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's a cycle. What's happening is men are the head. Men are the head of the house. They are the lead, right? Our role is to provide subtle support for them to evolve to who they need to be. And in return, in doing that, they will also help us to become the best version of
mm-hmm.
ourselves. But it's a little tricky because there's a gender battle going on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, women are battling that men are not the stronger sex or not the this, that, and men are saying no one. It's really not all about, it's just purpose.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, think of it, even if you don't believe in the Bible, but let's just go back to that principle then, right? God made everything, light good, this good, water good, sea good, sun good, and then he made Adam and said, oh, wait a minute, he's gonna need Eve. He's going to need someone there to support him.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way a man can become the best version of himself without a woman.
Mm-hmm.
But, and the saying always says, behind every strong man is a woman. It is so true. We are the gender that keeps it all together
mm-hmm.
and ties it all in.
So it doesn't mean that because we're supporting.
We're not, right.
It means that we are less valued.
No, that's what I'm saying.
We're actually.
We are the backbone.
Yeah.
We are the community builders.
Yeah.
Know? Tell me how you can build a community without a woman.
Cannot.
It can't happen. It can't happen. You
yeah.
understand? So we have our child, yes, and our children. We are building
mm-hmm.
the community. Whatever we pour into them is what they're going to go out and
that's
give.
Very true.
So what I'm saying, and even as a mother, whatever you have in you, you're going to pour out to your child.
Yeah.
But if we're able to catch our young girls early and say, baby, you know how powerful you are?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that when you go to school, right, as a girl, you have this amount of influence? Do you know that you're the one who kind of nurtures and you're the one who does, like, teach our girls about their roles so they can get out of this psychology, say, and the boy them in control, and the boy them this,
yeah.
and the boy them that. No, the boys also need to be, we need to rub them back and tell
yes.
them how powerful
nurture
they are.
Them, yeah.
They are powerful,
mm-hmm.
but they need to respect the female gender, because
yeah.
without us, they can't grow, they can't get any better. They're
yeah.
just gonna just be what they are.
I think we were talking on the phone some time ago. You said to me that you have four boys,
mm-hmm.
and at every level of yourself, you see that version of
course,
in
yes,
them.
Yes. So,
so, you're the,
so
you're,
my son that I had at 19 years old, when I had him in jail, I lost custody of him through the system. So we don't even have a strong, you know what I mean, type of relationship. Not as strong as I would like it to be.
Do you communicate with him?
Of course, yeah, man, definitely.
Yeah?
But it's going to take work in progress.
How old is he now?
He's 19,
mm-hmm.
but he's been programmed as well. He's
of
been
course.
Programmed to see me in a particular light.
Right.
So even when I'm being who I am, he's not able to see beyond what he's been programmed
and
into
he's
seeing.
Not here in Jamaica.
And he's not here to
right.
physically do that. But that connection can never fade. That's
of course.
The first love of my life. So you will see my 19-year-old version. You'll see the brokenness. You will see, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? You'll see that 19-year-old self reflected in my son. Mm-hmm. And then my 27-year-old self, you're going to see that being reflected in where I was in my life with that child. You know what yeah. I mean?
And that and child
is Zion.
Zion, right.
Yeah.
So is that like a more mature Kiki?
Yeah, man, that's more mature.
Kiki,
yeah. It was a more mature Kiki, but it was still searching. And then I was a single mother.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of loaded things. It's like the first child, even though I had a child before, I never physically had him, so I didn't know what to do.
Right.
So he was trial and error, baptism by fire, make mm-hmm. a jump off a cliff, because this cannot be motherhood. Mm-hmm. Nobody mm-hmm. told me about this.
Nobody.
Nobody.
That's the reason why we have Moms Can't Relate, because we need people to talk.
Nobody. I was like, what in the bejesus is this? Yeah, that's like yeah. when you promise, I said, God, I'm not great. I'm six anymore.
Don't it. This is it, Lord. I ain't opening my legs.
No, more. Stop it.
No, seriously, no, I get
no,
you.
I'm serious. And then when I got Joshua, I was, how old was I with Joshy? Oh my God, Joshy would have been around 30.
Yeah.
There about.
So and at this time you're married and yeah.
Yeah, so you'll see a completely different approach in Joshua. So Joshua is the son who was surrounded by love and a functional household
family,
and
yeah.
family structure and stuff. And so he exudes a certain level of confidence that mm-hmm. he can't pay for, because him know. Say his mother and his father have this lock.
Mm-hmm.
We communicated with him differently. We engaged him a lot more. It wasn't a bully thing. Because for me, with Dan and being a single mother, I was of this impression that, yo, because I'm already a
you
thug.
You have to be mom
not
and
only that,
dad.
Not only that, but I'm already naturally a thug. Like, my
gotcha.
Mentality is thug-like.
Yeah,
I was like,
well, that's true.
So me, I gotta say, yo, Rudy, how are this? Yo, nigga, tug it out. Yo, big man,
where you do?
And so it's very hard on Zan. Yeah. And Zan is like, what the bejesus is this?
Yeah.
Like,
are you a mom or a dad? What are you?
Which is why it's so good to have balance. And then now with Cairo is, I'm not of the understanding of, he's his own person.
Yeah.
He's God expressing himself as Cairo. Just as I'm God expressing myself as Carrie, just
yeah.
as you're God expressing himself or herself as Debbie,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I'm seeing the big spirit in Kai, and I'm
yeah.
getting the message that I have to relinquish the need to control and allow him to show me who he is and just kind of fall in line
mm-hmm.
and just be there.
I think it's at 20. I think it's a thing with the kids nowadays, because I have that same kind of feeling with Sai. Like, he doesn't want to be coerced into doing anything at all. Like, he doesn't want to mm-hmm. do, you know, he has his own, I mean, of course, you know, you steer him and you guide him and stuff,
mm-hmm.
but he's the kind of man who I'm seeing already
mm-hmm.
that, you know, he has his own intentions and he wants to live his truth,
he's,
you know? Like,
they're humans. They're
yeah.
they're fully equipped. All you have to do is unravel it. It's almost
yeah.
like someone said, I think it was, I can't remember which one of these great artists, I think it's Michelangelo, one of them, who said that they saw their like they dealt with clay and sculpting, and they're like, I saw the masterpiece before, all I had to do was chip away the excess.
Right.
That's really what it is with children.
Yeah.
You just have to allow them to be. But the main thing that I think, in particular for mothers, it's very important for us to do work on self. I wish someone could tell us before we actually bring children
yeah.
into the world.
I'm very happy you touched on that point, because
you have to do the work.
Yeah, that's what I was going
yeah,
with.
Because your brokenness will filter down to
right,
your child.
Because I know you would have had to do a lot of work on yourself, and you're still doing work on
Nothing.
Yourself.
Nothing.
Having had the experience that you had, like,
yeah.
how do you move from... Oh, we were just laughing about it a while ago. The jailhouse to the billboard. Was that what you said? What was your reference
yes,
a while ago?
No, we're talking about the fact that I've never been jaded by the lights, camera, action of the industry.
Right.
Because for me, I'm humbled by my jail experience.
Right.
Because one year me in a jail cell up on the floor, and then a couple of years later, I'm on a billboard. So you
right.
from jail cell to billboard, you get it. Yeah, I just really had a real grounded approach. I knew for a fact that I was in this industry on talent, and it was a door that God opened for me. And so beyond all of it, I never got caught up, because I knew where I was coming from, one, and then I was a mother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my focus was my child. It's not, oh, you did good today, and oh, I like your outfit today, or oh God, you did suck today, whenever did I feel it today.
Right.
Or it wasn't about anything. The thing is, oh my God, how am I doing as a mother?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, can
Are
I survive
Are you supplying
this?
The needs,
Am I
right.
supplying the needs? Like, oh my God, am I growing as a person? Oh my God, am I, you know, am I doing what I'm supposed to? So I've always been on carry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that has always been my purpose, because for me, I know that before I die, I've always said, God, let me get to where I need to be. Don't let me die with my song still left inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I heard Wayne Dyer use that term, and he's one of my favorite philosophers, because I so connect with what it is that he's saying. Like, I'm just like right there. So Yeah, I've just always been doing work on self because I know that we're so much more than what we think we are.
Yeah. And our we were talking to Jody, that's Jinx, recently, mm-hmm. and she said it herself. She said, comparison is a thief of all joy, and as mothers, we tend to compare ourselves when we see other mothers doing things, and especially now we have so many representations being thrown at us. You know,
I couldn't care less. I'm watching you because I'm busy trying to do me.
Yeah.
Because it's a reality check. And you got to remember that I had my first son when I was 19.
Mm-hmm.
So my perspective switched out from
early. Right. But for the mothers who are now coming in to this age of seeing so many representations of what a good parent, a good mother should be and ought to be.
No, me, I dropped
and you're there. Don't it?
Drop bread
you did there. Don't it? You did there. Try to be all that you can be. And so you come down hard to yourself and you're thinking, oh, am I doing enough? Or do I have all the resources?
Here's what I've always said, Deb. And this is a thing that I like about me.
Yeah.
Here's what I like about me, my honesty.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not about to carry on a corner. I'm not going to tell you what don't go so. I'll be fair if there's someone else involved. And I'll be like, okay, they will have their truth as well. But this is my truth in the situation. And however you want to interpret that, you interpret that. Because I found that my honesty has helped me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been able to make connections with persons who I can just say, yo, I'm drowning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't even know what this is. And there's always been someone there that's always said, let's put this in perspective for you and give you a fresh perspective or just encourage you to say you can hold on.
Mm-hmm.
So when it really comes down to the nitty-gritty, in addition to me choosing to do work on myself, I've been blessed with a wonderful set. And it's not like I have like a whole village. That's not what it is. But even if I want somebody when meet me for 1 second, we may send me a drone. And them say, come here, let me help you to not sink today.
Yeah,
that helped me on my journey. So it's been a whole teamwork.
How do you, and I hope, let me know if you're okay with talking about this, but how do you go about mending that relationship with your 19-year-old son as a mother?
I'm waiting on God to do that, one. Yeah. And second of all, I'm also open to the fact that I played a role in creating that whole situation.
What was that like, though, in terms of your first contact with him and all of that?
No, man. All right. So what happened is after I had him in jail, I had to relinquish him, clearly. And his grandparents ended up getting custody of him. That's his father's paternal parents. Because I had left home already at this time. I was like 15 on my own, you know? So, of course, that would have been the obvious choice for me. What I didn't know then was that they were hurt and betrayed by my actions of ending up in jail in the first place. And they thought that they were going to be better able to take care of him than I could. And so I indirectly became their enemy, but they were still opening their arms and saying, we love you, we really do. And as soon as you get to this point, then, you know, you'll get him. They wanted me to fall into their mold of what they thought a good mother would be. And I was still a rebel. I was like, yo, you can't be forcing this on me. Like, I want to be a mother with the freedom to learn and not be ridiculed or chastised or laughed at, you know, in certain instances. So we were around each other. But as a mother, I don't know if you can understand this. Picture, wow, let me see if I can explain it. When you go home and Sai sees you, you're everything.
Oh yeah.
If a stranger come and takes Sai, what is Sai's reaction?
Then he cry and act out, and
that's what my son was to me.
Yeah.
When I went for my own child, he'd cry for his grandmother because I was a stranger. And no one can understand the heartbreak that would have done for me as a fragile 19-year-old, not knowing the first thing about being a mother. So automatically, I just started believing the narrative that they were better able to take care of him than me. But the way that they were raising him, I was like, that's not how I'd raise him. What in the world? So it became a battle. And the more I drowned trying to survive the pain, because I went numb, it was almost giving them more ammunition. So whether it is that I was out there smoking and, you know, to numb the pain, whatever it was, and I wasn't necessarily a party person at all, but there are certain things that I was using to numb the pain, and that just gave them more ammunition, more proof. See, I tell you about her. So that's the narrative that my son has grown up hearing about this negative person that his mother is. And it's confusing for him because he can't shake the bond between a mother and a child. So when he's in my presence or in my space, that's my son. You can't ground it. But when he's away from me, he doesn't really know who I am. And then having his brothers around is even more challenging for him as well, because he's going to say, yo, like, they experienced her. they experienced her love, her patience, her everything. Like, what about me? So to answer your question, I'm waiting on that day when he says to me, you messed up, and I needed to own up to it, because I've already owned up to it. But I want him to get to that place of being able to confront me and release and heal.
Has he ever hinted at getting there, or has he ever?
No, he's still very young. Mm-hmm. No disrespect, but boy's kind of slow.
I think
a girl,
they're not the first to run to their emotional space. They won't get to the emotional part of themselves
that quickly without some guidance.
Without some guidance, I'm sure
if it was a girl, she'd have stick me up long time.
So does he deal with you now more loving, or does he, is like a friendship kind of thing, or
you know what, it's I've been off the grid for 2 years, and he's been going through a lot as well. Mm-hmm. So at the end of it, we're just waiting to see it all work out.
That's
all I'll say.
But
he's good.
And you and I know as well that with you now, of course, being a new mommy, mommy every single time. because every experience is different, right?
Of course.
Yeah. So at this stage of your life, though, being a new mommy, was it something that you anticipated? How was that now for you?
All right, so twofold. Of course, the first thing was, for the first time, I felt embarrassed about being pregnant.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Because what I was getting a lot was, you're pregnant again.
Okay. Or, was there like a quota that you were supposed to meet?
Yes, that I didn't know about. Can I tell you? And then, of course,
I just want to know this. And somebody said, is there a quota then, because I'm about to bust it?
Yeah,
like,
and
what?
And then it was, pregnant again. Mm. And then it was also the age thing.
How old are you?
39.
So what's wrong with that? And he's healthy.
I'm old.
You're not old.
I'm just saying.
Girl, I get you. Yeah,
for the first time, I was like,
yeah, this is new. This is different. Yeah.
This is different. And I remembered hearing it. I remember there's another personality who had her fourth child, you know, a few years back. And I picked up on comments, but I wasn't able to really put it into perspective until I experienced the same thing. Mm-hmm. And as a people indirectly have this thing that, I don't know.
So there is this expectation of you because of your career versus your personal development. Yes,
I'm not supposed to have sex with my husband
and have children and create a legacy because you're a personality and you're supposed to just maintain your relevance into the media space, and that's it. Who cares if you want to create a legacy? Who cares if you want to have kids? You know, which is such a, and then as well, you know, it's also being able to create that boundary of, so listen here, when I do this thing, when I serve in this way, in this capacity, I'm serving in only this capacity, but I have a whole other life around here, so honey, that you have no say on. I get to control this part of it, and I get to evolve and enjoy it on my time, in my way.
That was a different experience. So it was the worst.
Did you respond?
Did I respond? I was like, I just couldn't. I didn't even know what to say.
You were shocked, right?
Yeah. I was like,
this was
a thing. What do you say?
Yeah, exactly.
It kept happening. You're pregnant again.
And it's from people in the entertainment industry.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
You're pregnant again. Yeah. I don't know. Should I go
ahead? And if I want to pregnant again next year, I could be.
Yeah, I could be if I wanted to. It's my own ways, but okay.
Exactly. My eggs to dish out.
My eggs. Yeah. But anyway. So yeah, that was a new experience. And this pregnancy was actually, if I were supposed to be honest with you, the worst in terms of pregnancy, like in terms of symptoms and morning
sickness. Was it because of the age?
I don't know, probably. Who knows?
Yeah.
But yeah, and also I want to...
Did you have complications any because of...
He was premature.
Oh, okay.
I have a preemie and I'd like to generate some attention to that
Please, I'd love to do that.
Because he was a premature. So for me, I have my children at St. Anne's Bay Hospital for more than one reason. When I had my second son, I wasn't able to work in the industry because I don't make a cute pregnant girl. I really don't. Job them dry up immediately. Work dry up. And so I had family on that side, and
you spent time there.
Zion's godfather was actually at the hospital at the time, and so that's where I had Zion. And that was a financial decision. Couldn't afford it, had to go public. It is what it is. And they were amazing. They were really amazing, and I like the fact that they could take care of me if anything went wrong, God forbid, and they could take care of him. And Zion came out lifeless. The cord was wrapped around his neck, and they had to cut it, and they revived him. Amazing. So you know who's going back down there for Joshua, went right back down there for Joshua, and you know who headed right back down there again for Cairo. So Kai came a month early as a preemie, and he had to be admitted to the ICU, the NICU. And when I went into the NICU, I was humbled because my child is premature at 8 pounds. He's 8 pounds.
At 8 pounds, that was size weight.
Yeah, he was, and it's not a miscalculation. Come here and I say, yeah, the doctor didn't miss. No, me no exact time. Jump.
Yeah,
he came a month early, and he was 8 pounds 2 ounces. And when they had to admit him and stuff because his bilirubin levels were really high, jaundice and all of these things, and when I walked into the NICU, there was a baby and a few of them who were less than a pound that the nurses and doctors were keeping alive. And it was, I think, couples or one of those hotels that actually donated to the development of the NICU. And so the, you know, the equipment and everything is really top of the line. But also sometimes the mothers don't come back for their children because in their minds, if I have a preemie, how am I going to take care of this preemie, you know? And so maybe the baby has a better chance of living at the hospital. So the nurses have at least 4 babies who don't have a mother, don't have a home. And they are going to keep these babies alive and take care of them until they're old enough to go to state. And I'm not sure what the adoption process is like, but I heard through passing that it gets a little tedious in terms of the adoption process. So sometimes some persons are interested, especially from overseas, but it's so... I don't want to say it is, but it came across as though it was a tedious, it could be a tedious process that they just kind of stopped.
Yeah.
So there are babies who need to be adopted. And I think that's probably what I might consider, walking to the NICU and say, can I have that baby right there, please? And get a girl. So I know it's a girl for a fact.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but eventually. So.
Yeah, that is, wait, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So when I walked in and I saw my giant of 8 pounds claiming that he's preemie, and I'm looking at real preemies.
Did you have him C-section?
Wow. Yeah. First and last, thank you. No more C-sections. I've had all my children natural. Horrible.
I was a C-section as well. So how
horrible,
was that for you?
Horrible. I don't know. So there's everybody, you know, to each his own.
And that first week having to, you know, try to walk again.
I reopened my wound.
You did?
Yes, I reopened Carrie. Yeah. I reopened my wound. It was painful. It was very painful. But, you know, I mean, it is what it is. I think for me, I was just more concerned that they cut through 7 layers of abs. It's like 39 years of work.
Exactly.
Like, I worked for those abs. No, I have the mummy pouch.
Oh, yeah, I have the mummy pouch too. Is it a nice little flap over?
Yes, right.
That, but goes, however, that does not go.
But I must share. And I don't want to do this. I don't want to, you know, but I'm going to make a shameless plug. You can edit it if you want. Dermacare has the solution.
No, man.
Yeah, Dermacare, they do non-invasive treatment. And what it is they do a laser treatment. Because what was happening for me, and I don't know if it happened for you, was I was numb. So after I had my first son, my navel went numb. So I've been numb around my navel area for the last 19, 20 years of my life. No feeling around my navel.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm. So then when I did the C-section and I started feeling numb around, I said, I can't do this. No, I'm not going to have numb navel and then numb belly button. It's not cute. It's not working. I need some kind of feeling. It's not cute. So I ended up meeting up with Dermacare, Dr. Rose and her team, and they've been giving me treatments and I have feeling.
Yeah.
I have feeling in my belly bottom and it's helping to regenerate and repair. So for all the mothers out there who are suffering from C-section complications, post, check Dermacare.
That is going to be a topic that I need to explore as well. All those complications post C-section. Because I did C-section, yes. I think for me, what it was the spot that they put in the epidural in the back, I had pains in my back up to a year afterwards.
Oh, right.
So,
yeah. Oh, and also, PSA again.
You didn't use epidural, did you? Of course you would.
No.
What did you do?
I don't know. What did I do?
They didn't inject you in your spine?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, that's the epidural.
Right. That thing.
Okay, yes.
Yes, they did. But what it is was twofold. When I came out from recovery, whatever, the operating room, or when I got back on the ward, I saw ladies drinking Pepsi. And so
you saw ladies drinking what now?
Pepsi.
Okay.
Yeah. So I just followed suit.
You were drinking Pepsi?
That's what I'm telling you. Wait, no man. Okay. I saw them drinking hot Pepsi because they were having spinal tap headaches. Okay. And so I decided to drink Pepsi as well before my own even started. Also, I was very stringent about medication. Like the doctor said to me, anytime you feel in pain, you're going to get your Motrin. I was like that thorn in the nurse's side. Nurse.
Oh my
nurse.
God.
Like,
yes.
I was drugged.
No, I understand.
Yeah. So I never went through that whole thing. But majority of the persons that I know.
Yeah.
And when I did research, I picked up that it could be the wrong size needle that we're using that's releasing too much fluid from our spines.
Oh.
And creating that headache as well as that pain that doesn't go away for an extended period. But I'm not a doctor. I'm just saying.
Yeah, she's just saying.
I'm just saying.
So somebody messaged me some time ago asking me to explore the topic of single mom, being a single mom,
Torture. Don't go around it. When you see a mother, a single mother working and trying to hold it down.
A single mom is categorized as what? Because, you know, you have fathers out there who said, woman loves them a single man.
Debbie.
No, no, seriously. What is a single mom is a mother who has no contribution from the father?
A mother who has no physical support in the space of the father and no other support. At all.
And when you say support, you mean financial and otherwise?
Yes. So okay. The financial might come sporadic, but it's not like it's a regular. And even that lack of contribution on a consistent basis can impede the quality of life that you like to provide for your child.
Right.
You understand?
Gotcha.
So instead of getting, you know, you want to send your child to do an extracurricular, or you have to just keep it to bare bones.
Right.
Because it's your paycheck alone.
So instead of go swimming, you have to just give him homework.
Yeah, we're gonna eat. We're gonna use that money and get food. Yeah. But more than anything else, here's what it is. This is the ugly truth about motherhood. So you go through the 9 months. First of all, you hear say you're pregnant. God forbid if you have horrible morning sickness. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's gonna take a toll on your body. Then as the pregnancy progresses, your body going to be swelling. You're going to have aches and pains in areas that you never even thought possible. You're going to have problems sleeping. You're going to be tired. Then what are the odds of now the water breaking and it's time to push? Mm-hmm. You're going to go through 10 rounds of a boxing match with like Mayweather, right? And he's going to knock the crap out to you, but you're going to get up and continue, and then before you know it, they're going to hand you this little thing that's now going to suck on your breast
and tell you to
and then you're going to have to get up out of that boxing match after being bruised and battered, and now you're going to have to continue to take care of this little one. And what are the
while you're healing,
and what are the odds that you and your child are so intrinsically linked that whatever mood you're experiencing, the child is going to also experience that. So if you're grumpy and groggy and whatever, the child is going to be fussy. You understand? So the child is going to feed off your energy. So for all the frazzled mothers out there with frazzled children, just thinking that the children are just, oh my God, like the spawn of the devil. No, they're feeding off your energy, and it's going to require a lot of mental strength to understand. To calm yourself down before you approach your child, to get your child to calm down, because frazzled nerves and babies don't work.
So the struggle of single mom,
right? So that's what I'm saying though. So after you go through all of that, then now you have to go get back into the work mode. Now you have to go find somebody where you can leave your child. Now you have to go hope and pray that you can find a daycare that you can leave your child with, or maybe find out, you know what I mean, somebody to come in if possible and make sure they're okay. Then you have to wonder how you're going to pay for it. Can I really afford this? Like for me, juggling, I used to have to juggle with Zai. I used to have to take Zan to work, you know what I mean? Like I was at a point where I never had it like that. You know what I mean? I was just getting back into the industry and stuff. And I used to have to take him to work. Me have comforted, pad up round him, whatever. Me have run upstairs, go check on him, feed him, run back downstairs.
This is
hi, how you
on
doing?
Air.
Yes, hi, how you doing? Da da da. Run back upstairs. God bless Richie Andrews. You understand? Like, I've had so many people just say, I remember call him, you know? I've gone to outside broadcast. I don't have anybody to watch him. My mother works, you know what I mean? And me, I do the interview with somebody and I try to stretch him over far enough. So
him not talking to the mic.
In the microphone. Mm-hmm. And I just feel somebody come and take him from me, Marlon Young. You know what I mean? So it's been lots of those little things. But his stress, and when he's sick, when the baby's sick and have fever, you understand, and you pulling all nighters and your child is sick and you're already frazzled, and then you're in this media industry where everybody, it's required of you to bring
be a
your
certain way.
Best
oh, yeah.
game
every day.
I'm just walking in about your man ball. And then come sitting in a makeup chair and say, make me look pretty. Here we go, because it's showtime. And this industry, I pull similarities and I say it's almost like a soldier.
Yeah.
You always have to be on show. You have to be on point because the public does not need to know what's happening in your personal
life. And they don't
life.
Care how and often. They don't care. They want to be entertained. Really to,
right? No. However, at the end of it, I just know that as a single mother, you have to, your nerves are in check. Your nerves are the first thing that's going to get fuzzy. The emotions are going to go haywire. You understand? The patience factor is going to go haywire. If you don't mind, sharp resentment might come in. Not just for, you know, the fact that you're alone.
To deal with the father coming in sporadically and also to deal with how that affects the child as well and the child asking for daddy
thank you
from
so
you.
Much no here's what I did and boy I give God thanks for it. Zan's father and I have been able to create a space right now that is so beautiful to see it unfold. So Zan is one of the few children who knows what it's like to have the power of a blended family where he can have both his stepmother and his stepfather in the same space as his mother and his father. You know what I mean? They'll come over, they spend time just to ensure that he's groomed. What I did with Zion was I loved him too much to tell him negative things about his father because he is of his father. So if I'm here tearing down his father to him, indirectly I'm tearing him down. I wasn't about to have that happen at all. Doesn't mean I'm not going to be honest. So Zai, daddy loves you. He loves you so much. Daddy's going through some stuff right now, you know what I mean? And he has to go and do what he needs to do for his own benefit.
That's even if you know differently.
However, this is the honesty. However, hold daddy accountable because I love you is more than words. So if you're asking me how daddy don't call you and we're seeing daddy online posting and daddy is telling you, oh, I can't call you because I don't have WhatsApp or Wi-Fi, whatever, daddy is posting online every day. So you need to hold daddy accountable. It's really simple. Mm-hmm. Ask him the truth. Daddy, how it is that you say you can't call me, but I see you online posting? Let daddy answer that question. I don't have to answer that question. But I'm not about to get stumped up all in the mess of this battle. I remember a very powerful thing that Denver said to me. It was in the heat, in the midst of the mother tension. The disdain that single mothers can have for the father. Oh, may he trip and drown. Can he just vanish? They can't last him. Joke. But seriously, it was that venom because of all the pressure that you go through. And this man just gone. Him just upped and disappeared. Like, what? And I remember Denver saying to me when he saw that in me, I need to tell you something that I did oil the floor one day. I have two pieces of two before. Come with that plan for beat. Anyway, moving on.
No, you Denver, didn't. Okay, all okay.
Right. Denver saw rage in me because I was living. And Denver pulled me one side one day. Thankfully, I calmed myself, composed myself. And Denver said to me, let me tell you something. Anything at all that he's going to go through, it's between him and his father. Take yourself out of it and allow that relationship to unfold how it should. And I got it. And I said, that's so true. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be one of those.
And Denver doesn't come in and act as a replacement for his father either.
Never. Because at the end of the day, he is his father. You know what I mean? Like how you will explain where him little hand them come from. Or him little foot them will look just like his father own. He's his daddy. When them link up, it's priceless. You know what I mean? And he doesn't have to feel loaded. He doesn't have to feel like, I can't show daddy that I love him because it going upset mommy. No, free up, man. Make the little picnic enjoy themselves. Me and him can't war
after,
outside.
Behind the scenes, yeah.
Yeah, man. And then if me need to tell him my truth, me I tell him my truth, I tell him, go ask him father for feed truth.
That's right.
But yeah, it's we need to be able to protect the child.
Yeah. So. What has been, it's going to probably be hard to find, but four boys, a career in media, a career that you stepped away from for a little bit to find yourself. Now you have a book. What has been that lesson for you thus far in your life? That centering thought that you just go back to.
I want to say on the top of my head that nothing is real.
Nothing is real.
Nothing is real. And everything is as you create it.
Yeah.
Because my reality is different from your reality. Mm-hmm. We both can be here, for example, in this interview, and your reality of what this interview is or was and mine are two completely different things, though we just shared this space.
Yeah,
it's what you create. It really is. And the most important thing is getting yourself in check, being able to do and having a desire to do the work, if for no other reason but just to leave a legacy that someone else can pass on to someone else. And that's pretty much it. So for me, it's just being the best version of myself until I'm no longer here and hoping that my children will be able to just reflect that. just something about mommy that they can bring mm-hmm. on. If it's the kindness, if it's the honesty, if it's the tenacity, the perseverance, the love of God, like whatever it is, you know, just be able to pass that on so we can make a better generation.
Yeah. So you have four boys and you're working still. How do you feed back into yourself? Like what's the kiki time that you take for yourself? What
I'm
do you
learning.
Do?
I'm learning now.
Yeah.
Because I've been one of those selfless mothers. It's just my nature, you know what I mean? And it just extended into being a mother, it extended into being a wife, it extended. But the truth of the matter is I'm also at a point where I've been starting to rebel.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm saying, but why are you rebelling? Because you're the one who not taking time for you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you never take it the way you expect everybody else to do it, mm-hmm. then never, so whatever you want, you got to give to you.
Yeah.
That's it. Like that, if I was supposed to leave anything, it would be that. Whatever you want others to give you, give to yourself first.
Girl, ain't that the truth?
That's deep plate.
So she's gonna be one of our stand-up moms for Moms and Mimosas. She got lots to share. Man. She got lots to share on December 1 at the Serengeti at Hope Zoo. She got lots to
Amen.
Share.
It's gonna be a
Keeks,
good,
oh my God! First of all, I'm so happy that I was able to share this moment with you and connect with you. I mean, you have been more to me than you know.
Thank you.
Trust me. And I know that your story is going to help a lot of people. And I know that this book as well is going to help a lot of people. Debbie. So your book launch is happening on the 16th of November.
Yeah. So it was so funny because ideally I didn't want to launch a book until next year.
Okay.
And then Denver just kind of said, why are you waiting? It's
right.
here. Just launch.
Exactly.
So I'm going to launch the family and friends first because it's also my birthday.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it's really my birthday celebration. So RIP Elva, you know, when Elva passed away and stuff, I was like...
The hero duck.
So, when that whole thing happened, I was just like, I don't usually celebrate my birthdays. And everybody who is coming, God forbid if I are supposed to die, mm-hmm. they're the same people who I'd want showing up at my funeral, if I have one, whatever. But you get the point. Mm-hmm. So I just really wanted to share that moment of launching the book with family and friends, and then afterwards I'll make it public, you know, where persons can get their book and all of that stuff. So right now it's just
Will you go on like a media tour with a book? And
oh wait, Debbie, I'll ask him. Joke, yes.
Yes, I will. Ask the people.
I'm teasing. You know, I'm being troublesome.
Of course.
Yes, of course. No, I will. I haven't gotten as far as putting it all together, you know, just yet. But right now, there will. There's going to be a PR. There's going to be a tour. And so for me, I want to kind of go more out of Kingston. I want to go to Mandeville. I want to go to Ochi. I want to go to Montego Bay. I think Jamaica has so many parishes.
So many more parishes.
I want to go to those parishes and I want to get to meet the people and I want to let's have a conversation.
Yes.
We could chill, we could hang out and stuff. Because the thing is, it's saturated somewhat in Kingston in terms of the higher level thinking concepts and and we have access to it.
You know
what I mean? Mm-hmm. You have so much access to it and everybody is on that journey of self, you know, love and enlightenment and But for me, my principle is just really what it is. You understand? Your spirit is not even about religion. All religions reflect an aspect of God. You know what I mean? My thing is we're a spirit. We need to honor the spirit and we need to understand how it is that we can live our best lives by just tweaking whatever. Don't use your parents' mistakes because they were broken to limit your life.
Exactly.
Because you're more than that. You understand? They're not your God.
Exactly.
They're not your energy.
No.
They're just there to guide you. So don't allow your parents' brokenness, your auntie, your uncle, your teacher, them, everybody that you're, don't allow their brokenness to that influence you as a child to be the definition of who you are. Make a broken like a mold. Come in if you connect with your energy.
Break
the pathology. Yeah, many if you connect with your energy. I understand you're so much more.
Mm-hmm.
You're so much more.
Oh yeah, and there are a lot of people out there that need healing. But the healing begins with us.
That's right.
It does.
And it's gruesome, but you gotta do it.
Have to do it. Have to do the work. Forget where you want to go, eh?
Yeah. Ugly truth.
Ugly truth. I love you, girl. Thank you so much. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for listening to the Moms Can Relate podcast. We have much more for you. Remember to support the podcast by pressing that little nice little button that says support.
Support.
Yes. Support and subscribe. And remember, Moms and Mimosas, December 1, Hope Zoo, Serengeti. Come and have a wonderful time. More information to come very soon on that. So stay tuned to the Instagram page and Facebook page as well. Bye.